2-2 pitch. A swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host and buddy, Dylan White. How is it going, Dylan? It's getting warmer here in Massachusetts at times. At times. It's cold and warm. We've had 75 and 30 in the last, like, 2 days. How about there in Toronto? Is it getting a little warmer?
It is. I was just saying how the snow has melted. It's so weird to see it. There was this one little pile in our backyard that, after the big dump, had stubbornly remained, but it's now gone and it looks like spring. But today's cold. Today's below freezing with the wind chill. So the dog had to have his coat on for his walk as opposed to being nude. So that's the gauge of how cold it is.
We want Dylan's dog to be naked again. Come
that's
on.
That's right.
It's got to go. Well, we've been flying through these division pods, these prospect breakdowns. We've already done all three divisions in the American League. You can go and check those out on our podcast feed. We've done them over the last 3 weeks. We're rolling into the National League here. We'll finish these up, I think the day, AAA opening day, I think will be when our final one of these comes out. And I'm going to record the next one in Florida, and then the one after that will be the day I get back, the day I actually arrive from Florida in the morning. So a little bit of everything there. We're doing NL East, though. Let's jump right into it. We got the Phillies at the top. Kind of an interesting system. If you don't recall, we go through a 2026 contributor, a highest upside prospect, and then an underrated player. Sometimes we each have a different one. Sometimes we kind of just agree on them. Phillies is kind of interesting for the top two categories because I feel like there's a lot underrated player. It's not as particularly deep system. So there aren't a lot of great answers there. You're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. But 2026 contributor for myself, I'm going to throw out Justin Crawford out there. I'm not super excited about Crawford, though. It's just not a profile that I necessarily believe in. There's like underlying EV power, but he hits the ball on the ground a ton of topside. He's got speed and like enough speed, but I don't think this is like a 60 steal guy. I think it's more like a 30 steal guy. So, you know, he might hit like 275 or he might not hit at all. It's an unusual profile. I don't love it. I feel like it's a little bit more fourth outfieldery than maybe other people do. I don't think I have him on a single fantasy roster, but I mean, I can understand what the appeal is, but I think he's probably the guy that has the clearest path to potential playing time, at least in the short term, particularly with Aiden Miller's back issue. There's another name here. I don't know, you know, if that's who you're going with, but there's certainly an arm that the Phillies have who could be a contributor as well, but another one that carries some questions.
Yeah, I actually do have Crawford in my home league. He's had a quiet spring, I feel. I haven't really seen much buzz about him, but he seems to be like starting in the outfield and, you know, projections have always liked him. Like RoboScout type projections, he's always been young for the level. He makes good contact. It's always just been the ground ball. But the second name, I do like Crawford. I don't know how he's going to do. The second name, I guess, is Andrew Painter. I was just writing about him recently. He actually had very similar AAA as Bubba Chandler last year. They both basically threw the same amount of innings. They both had kind of the same strikeout minus walk. Their xFIPs weren't great. But Painter's being taken in redraft, like in the 21st round. Chandler's going 10th round. I mean, this sounds like I'm doing a Chandler versus Painter thing. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, Painter's probably starting the rotation because, he probably is definitely going to, with Wheeler possibly making in the rotation. But they also have Taijuan Walker, who's probably the one that's going to be the odd one out. This is a former Painter, is a former top prospect who is in the rotation, and he's being taken pretty late. So I think this is, he's going to contribute in the majors. I don't know how good he's going to be. His fastball is still fast, still sitting like 97, but it just doesn't have a great shape right now. So I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I talked a lot around here about Painter, but he's a guy who will contribute in 2026. I don't mind him in the 21st round. It's like an SP6. So like, I think it's a totally good flyer to take because, you know, just the pedigree and he was a former, maybe top three pitching prospect at the time before his TJ.
Yeah. I think that's probably the best pick here. Maybe there's some uncertainty about the rotation spot, et cetera. There's going to be enough innings for this guy to get up there and, you know, see 15 plus starts at minimum. Depending on how the fastball plays and the locations on that fastball, which I think do a lot of the lifting with just fastballs in general and a lot of success, drive a lot of success. You know, you can see guys like I was looking at maybe Jose Soriano the other day and his stuff actually, if I remember, kind of dropped a little bit in terms of like its overall stuff score, but his locations were so good last year that he saw, you know, maybe some more success. So, I think that's really like the last thing to come back coming off of an elbow surgery as well. So it wouldn't shock me if Painter's a breakout. Highest upside for me, I think it's Aiden Miller because there is power, there is field to hit, the ability to play multiple positions in the infield, maybe the need to play multiple positions in the infield with the Phillies when he comes up. And there's speed. I mean, stole a ton of bases last year as well. I think there is like potential 25-25 upside with Aiden Miller. He's one of my more favorite fantasy prospects at the moment, but is dealing with a back injury. So there are some question marks there in terms of health. But I do think that he is the highest upside prospect in this system. I don't know if you agree, disagree, want to wax poetic perhaps on Mr. Miller.
I do agree. Because I know you were going to take Miller, I was trying to find an alternate. And I mean, Justin Crawford, if he does what the like peak projections based on his results and his production would show, like kind of taking a 22-year-old or whatever he is in AAA, doing what he's doing with the good contact, reasonable EVs, lots of stolen bases, like he could be a fantasy monster. He could hit 280 and have like 15 home runs, 30, 40 stolen bases. He could. So I think his ceiling in his 90th percentile outcome could be just as good as Aiden Miller. But I think both of us are a bit skeptical on whether he does reach that. Whereas we're less concerned with Aiden Miller, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a fine way to put it, Dylan. It's probably perfect. Underrated player. I think this is a tougher question. Just overall in this system. It's not a particularly deep system. There are some fun and relevant names at the top for fantasy. As you start to get a little deeper, you probably have to take a shot on some pitching. I'm going to go with Cody Bowker, somebody that they had drafted last year out of Vanderbilt, kind of an undersized righty. He's from the great state of Maine, Dylan. So kind of like somewhat in between us, like they touch Canada and like our Massachusetts. But I like the stuff. It's not huge power, but it's interesting shapes, it's lower slot, lower release height, you know, has a sinker that has a vertical approach angle, Dylan, last year. This is in college, so it could adjust a little bit, of 3.8 degrees. Pretty flat for a sinker. He's got a four-seam variation, but it's really the same thing, more or less. A couple of different breaking ball shapes. Not like crazy feel for spin, but he's got a sweeper and like more of a traditional kind of ride cutter. Had a pretty decent changeup as well. He'll throw all of them for strikes. Just kind of interesting. Like it's like gauge jump zero. You know, there's no sugar here. Not as much velocity. But if he added a couple of ticks and was like 94, 95, okay, it's like sinker gauge jump, you know, as opposed to the riding four seam. But like an undersized guy with really good release characteristics, and it's because of the lower slot kind of pedestrian extension. But Yeah, Cody Bowker, maybe an interesting name for deeper leagues.
I like it. So I did the same thing. I went into like the college pitcher thing. I dabbled like a robo scout of college last year, and Cade Obermueller, well, Cody Bowker was 29th on that list, and Cade Obermueller was 12th. And they're actually kind of similar. I was just looking at them. They both throw from a low release height. They both are flat. Obermueller minus 4.3, which is very flat too. It's not as flat as Bowker, but super flat. Their slider, Bowker, is like 15.3 inches a break, and Obermueller 18.7, so even more. Obermueller, kind of a funky lefty, low slot, doesn't throw that hard, but kind of the same average velocity as Bowker. So I was kind of doing the same thing. I'm just like, I want to pick someone underrated who is like 10th or below type of thing. And so I'm like, let's see how they did in the, how they're stopping. Both of them popped. So I like it. I like, it look kind of looks like Philly's taking some traits here, right? They a lot of sweep on the slider, low release height, super flat fastball. They're both averaging like 92, 93. Hopefully they can build up some velocity there. Obermueller has a lot of extension too. So maybe they're kind of targeting certain traits. I don't know. Something I found during this exercise. So it was very interesting.
Nice. All right. Let's move on to the next team then. Let's move on to the Mets. Let's meet the Mets, Dylan. 2026 contributor. This is like, there's multiple options, many options here.
Good system.
Nolan McLain, that's the easy one. Let's take the low-hanging fruit. Number one-ish pitcher, pitching prospect, pitcher in dynasty prospect, however you want to phrase that. Depending upon you, like the Savage, maybe you like him. But a guy that's getting drafted universally in every league, no matter how deep, how shallow, Nolan McLain is owned. And is, and you anticipate that McLain is going to deliver you know, good numbers for you, good ratios, good innings, quality starts, some wins. Maybe not the craziest, you know, K per nine numbers, but should throw enough innings to rack up those, you know, counting stat Ks. So yeah, Nolan McLain, I think, is kind of an easy slam dunk and, you know, maybe not their ace, but in the mix.
I mean, every time I hear Nolan McLain, I think of you. You're forever associated with Nolan McLain with me. I know he's your guy, or I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I associate him with you. Yeah, I mean, that's the easy one. I guess the other one, there were probably two others: Jonah Tong, who's already been sent down, and then Carson Benj. So I'll go Benj. Outfield, good blend of power, speed, good contact. Doesn't really chase. Good barrels. Good velocity, just all around kind of a solid player. And it sounded like he was going to make the team out of spring training. I think he hasn't really soured that idea. So Carson Benj is someone who's being taken in like the 24th round as like an SP 4 or 5. I don't mind that. He could be a very valuable contributor in a good lineup.
Yeah, I agree. I think Benj is really pretty interesting and, you know, potentially a player that we almost feel, maybe not now, because I feel like everyone caught up, but it did take a while for him to jump up lists as high as he did. But there's just such a nice variant, you know, balance of skills there that it's kind of hard to argue with it. So, yeah, I agree with you there on Carson Benj. How about highest upside? I ended up going with AJ Ewing myself. I like that he's showing a little bit more power. The EVs have never been bad. It's just a matter of him lifting the ball a little bit more consistently, maybe getting to a little bit more pull power, especially as like a kind of shorter guy. But he's a great athlete. He runs. There's a great hit tool here. He gets on base. So if it's a matter of him just kind of make a couple tweaks and he's still very young and getting to more power more consistently, it doesn't have to be anything more than maybe 15 to 18 to be a really valuable fantasy player and maybe like a dynamic kind of a leadoff guy who could score 100 plus runs, which those guys are worth their weight in gold in fantasy. So I just think Ewing though it says, sounds crazy, maybe with like McLean and Benj, because those guys obviously have massive upside, that like Ewing could maybe even be like a better all around like fantasy player, mm-hmm. because he does so many other things well, like with the steals, and could still have some power and scoring all those runs, and just generally not being a pitcher and all you have to deal with there.
I like Ewing. I also like Ryan Clifford, RoboScout has as like a 30 home run guy with a good OBP, but I'm going to go Jonah Tong, another RoboScout guy. It was kind of him and Burns, double A and triple A, 1 and 2 and 2 and 1. Both 22 years old, both getting huge strikeouts. Burns obviously got into the majors and did well. Tong did less well, but you know, the peak projections from RoboScout for Tong are like a 30% strikeout rate and like a ERA around 3. Whether or not that is kind of just smoke and mirrors from just kind of his unique look, and AAA hitters can't hit it, AA hitters can't hit it, but major leaguers will figure it out, I don't know. Like I said earlier, he's already been set down, but you know, he could have a very high upside as a guy with a very strange release like Treya Savage, and he's very athletic, and I think Jonah Tong, just based on RoboScout and what he did last year and even the year before, he could have a very high ceiling, kind of like the Justin Crawford. He may not reach it, but his 90th percentile is very, very high.
Yeah, but I think he's at least done it in a way that you're like, yeah, that could translate if he performs that way. Where like, I think that's what my question is with Crawford, is it's just such a weird profile for that to be an everyday guy. And I guess like his dad, someone you can point to, but his dad played a long time ago at this point, you know. Things change quick. I like that as the highest upside. I think the top of the system is, this is a good system, because like the underrated names are good as well. I ended up going with Will Watson as my underrated name in this system. I think it depends who you're reading. I think maybe Baseball Prospectus has some top 100. They're all Mets guys, right? But yeah, I think it's, you know, velocity, good angles, lower launch fastball, the extension's fairly good, there's enough strikes, you know, a couple different breaking ball shapes, like a more traditional cutter, kind of like a short slider, baby sweeper, and decent change up as well. And he mixes up the secondaries, you know, the usage was pretty heavy across all three of those pitches, in the slider, cutter, change up, which is nice to see. And of course, fastball quality. So, I think it's a back end arm. Maybe he ends up a reliever ultimately, but I'm going to say, like, I think there's a chance this guy's like a mid rotation arm, and we're all kind of sleeping on it. So, like a true meaning of like an underrated player, I think like Watson is definitely underrated.
I actually picked him up in my dynasty at the end of last year, because he had a very strong end of the season and his stuff was very good. So I actually grabbed him. So I love that pick. He was going to be my first pick. But I will gracefully let you take him. I'll take Zach Thornton, sort of another guy. They're probably both going to start in AAA, sort of yet less, like not as much as buzz as Nolan McLean, Jonah Tong, Wettinger, Santucci, kind of the next tier down. So I have him and Watson kind of paired together. He doesn't have as good stuff as Watson, but he's got a wide arsenal, and like his results weren't too bad last year. He actually kind of peak projects better than Watson based on what Thornton did last year in AA as a 23-year-old. Didn't really walk anybody. Still got, you know, good whiffs and stuff. So he's like a sub-4 ERA at peak. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. But, you know, people aren't really talking about Zach Thornton or Will Watson. So I think that those guys are definitely underrated names. Good system, the Mets.
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, you go through this one and it's like, I think it gives you a different perspective. Like just breaking it down this way, because it kind of makes you go in like different tiers and think about it in different ways, that it does kind of test the system a little bit. Yeah. And it's a good one for sure. All right, let's move on to the Braves. We'll do this system. We got two at the back and we'll take a break after that. Braves system, a little bit less exciting, but I think some interesting 2026 contributors. I like J.R. Richie. It's a super deep pitch mix. He's got like a bunch of different fastball shapes, like every breaking ball you can think of. There might be like seven pitches here. Throw strikes, competes, had a pretty good season, kind of at the cusp of the majors. He's not going to be up, I don't think, for a little bit. But, you know, it wouldn't shock me if he's up in maybe June, or if there's a string of injuries and more injuries on top of the ones they already have. And, you know, they need to go to that starter depth. It wouldn't shock me if Richie is up. So I do think he's going to contribute. I think the Braves are going to need him to contribute. And I think he could be surprisingly good. We've seen a lot of good players come up from this Braves system over the last couple of years in terms of pitching. You know, Schwellenbeck and Strider are pretty good. So could Richie be the next one? I don't know.
And those pitchers exceeded sort of our expectations as well. So I like that. I think the other option is Didier Fuentes. He's being taken kind of 48th, 49th, 50th round. He did debut last year, arguably too early. And I think he's a 20-year-old. Really good fastball. He hit 98 this spring. He's really kind of just a three-pitch pitcher, fastball slider with a bit of a curve. So I don't know how many, you know, lineups he's going to turn over, but you know, he's on the 40 man. He debuted last year. So, you know, with the injuries that you're talking about in the Brave rotation, it's not unforeseeable that he's up pitching. Maybe it's like a piggyback guy or long reliever or something, but I could see him starting in maybe 10 games or so.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good call out. And unfortunately, you know, took a lot of heat when he came up last year. Yeah. Whether that was deserved or not, I don't know. And we'll see. Let's move on to the highest upside here. I'm going to go with Diego Tornes. He just seems like an exciting player. This is very boom or bust. But there's tools here. He's a position prospect. There might be some power. We haven't had that from a Braves hitter in a while. I know Drake Baldwin was good, but he's still a catcher at the end of the day. This one seems kind of exciting, Dylan. When I was reading the reports in the handbook process and came across his while, you know, proofing Carlos's chapter, I was like, I kind of like this Tornes guy. Carlos, tell me more. So that's the guy that I'm going with. How about yourself, Dylan?
I like Tornes. I mean, he was 16, like age 16 last year, and had a 105 90th percentile. So, I mean, that's huge power. And to be 16 and do that is obviously great. So, and his contact wasn't so bad. So I like that one. Also my pick, but I'm going to go Fuentes again. I mean, we might as well just talk about it. Just being 20 years old, that young, getting strikeouts in AAA, that projects really well at peak. So I went Fuentes. It's kind of a sub-4 ERA with, you know, a good strikeout minus walk. He had good command in AA, AAA last year. So I'm going to pick him. He probably won't hit it, but that's what the numbers say. So again, 90th percentile outcome. He could have a huge ceiling. The question is whether or not he will hit it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, though, to kind of follow that. Let's move on to the underrated player. I ended up going with Garrett Bauman. He's a big old drink of water. I saw him in spring training, actually, in spring breakout games that I'll be watching less than a week, or about a week from now. And the stuff was loud. He was up to like 98, 99, same in season, four seam fastball that sits 95. He throws a ton of strikes for a big guy too, that has this kind of power, good changeup. Some feel for spin, the breaking ball's okay. Not great. Doesn't miss as many bats as you would hope. But I think the locations there could improve just based on the quality of the strike throwing at his age with his stuff. All that sort of thing. So I feel like he's a guy that maybe is sliding a little bit under the radar, who in a couple of years we could look back and be like, oh, that guy was actually pretty decent fantasy player and pitcher to target. So Bauman was who I'm going to go after. I think you got another pitcher yourself, Dylan.
Yeah, it wasn't this year. It was the year before I asked Carlos about Lucas Braun and what feedback he was getting. And he said they liked Bauman better than Braun. Better fastball, that type of thing. But I liked Braun at the end of last year. The reason I was asking, because you know, as a 22-year-old in 2024, he had a pretty good season in high A and double A, good command. He's got a kind of a wide arsenal, doesn't blow anyone away with his stuff, but like showing pitchability. And he kind of did the same thing last year. I had him on my team. I dropped him later just because he didn't do as well as it kind of looked. But, you know, because he was 23 last year, did pretty well at upper levels, doesn't walk that many. He has pretty good projections. Even Zips has him doing pretty well. So I think he's underrated because I don't think that many people have Lucas Braun. Maybe redraft are taking him because he finished in AAA and they know the Braves are in trouble. So he's the kind of guy that, you know, you take a shot at him. But I think he may surprise and be a reasonable guy that can log some innings in the back of rotation, Lucas Braun.
Yeah. No, 100%. I like that one. And Josh Norris had some nice video of him the other day that I kind of appreciated. It's always good when you get some interesting looks on arms that are maybe a little bit less popular. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Marlins prospects. And we are back. All right, let's talk a little bit of Marlins here. 2026 contributors for the Marlins, Dylan. I feel like they have a few, but the easiest one, the lowest hanging fruit, is Robbie Snelling. It's a good mix. Had a very good bounce back year last year. The stuff has been there. I don't think he's going to break camp with the team, but could be up very, very shortly. And could throw 100-plus innings in the big leagues this year. I don't think that would be shocking, Dylan. What are your thoughts there?
I love Snelling. I was writing about him this week as well. Just in AAA, the thing that jumped out at me, that in AAA, as a 21-year-old on RoboScout, he kind of sits right beside Jacob Mizorowski's AAA as a 23-year-old. So Mizorowski is 2 years older than Snelling. They both kind of threw the same amount of innings at AAA, 63.1 and 63.2. But Snelling had more strikeouts, like a better strikeout rate, fewer walks, better whip, better ERA, better FIP, better XFIP, more ground balls, better swinging strike, went deeper in games. Like, it was like basically better than Mizorowski last year in the same amount of innings in AAA and 2 years younger. So I love Snelling. RoboScout loves Snelling. Projections for this year have him as like a 4 ERA, and I just think that that's even low based on what Snelling did. He took a step forward last year. You know, like through like 3 or 4 miles an hour faster than the year before. Projections aren't accounting for that. They're also taking into consideration as 2024. So if you believe that the changes that Snelling made to his velocity and the shapes and all that are real, and he's a different pitcher, then these projections are way too light. So I actually have him based on last year alone as a 1.2 whip and a 3.62 ERA, which is very good. So, you know, the Marlins are probably going to have injuries. They've got Alcantara, they've got Yuri Perez, they've got Braxton Garrett, Chris Paddock. Like, I think 2 of those will be injured at any given time during the season once it gets going. So I think you're going to see Snelling in there for sure.
I like that. I agree. I don't even think we have to throw any other ones out there.
All right.
I think highest upside, Thomas White. He could also be a contributor this year. He's dealing with some injury stuff at the moment. But in terms of like massive upside, massive swing and miss upside, big stuff out of a lefty, Thomas White is kind of the prototype. So, you know, we'll see if the strike throwing, the locations, the command can improve. That's kind of been the biggest bugaboo here with White. I don't know what your thoughts are there.
I think that's all true. I think he does have the highest upside, huge, huge stuff, big strikeouts. It's the question of the command. I mean, I could see Snelling having the highest upside based on everything I just babbled on about. I think White is my first pick. Snelling's probably my second. And since we don't want to duplicate, I'll say Kevin DeFrank as maybe the highest upside. We've talked about him a bunch. We've written about him a bunch. Jacob Rudner.
It's loud stuff.
Yeah, throwing 100. super young, big slider, like powerful velocity. Like he's basically sitting 100. So, you know, as a guy in the low minors, as a, what is he, 18, 17, 18, you know, the world's his oyster as long as he doesn't break. So I went with Kevin DeFrey as my highest upside.
I like that. All right, let's move on to an underrated player here. I'm going to go with Fenwick Trimble. And it's not like the loudest profile. I mean, there's a good chance that this is just like a fourth outfielder that kind of bounces around the big leagues for a bunch of years. I'm not going to deny that that could be a real possibility. But I don't know, man. I've always been at least a decent fan. He gets on base. He runs. Doesn't strike out a lot. There's some contact skills there. He's played in trickier leagues to hit in too, that I think some of that masks some of the potential production here. But overall, like, it's pretty exciting. Got up to Double A last year for about half the year. He's not Rule 5 eligible until December of 2027. But is a guy that I do think could end up maybe debuting midway through the summer, halfway through the season, and maybe spending half a year in the big leagues, especially if the power ticks up enough. But there's like enough there. You know, 149 isolated slugging last year. There's kind of enough there to make everything else work, and the hit tool and the steals, and could be like kind of a sneaky, valuable player. I don't know if you have thoughts on Trimble.
I do like Trimble. I took him in my FYPD. Just he kind of popped a bit on Statcast. Like you said, he doesn't have anything like incredible, but he's like better than average contact, better than average exit velocities, doesn't really chase, has speed, etc. So, you know, he kind of profiles as an average hitter, like WRC plus of around 100, power and speed. So I do like that. I think this is going to be a controversial pick. If I had to pick an alternate, I went Andrew Salas. This is a guy who started off gangbusters because he was so young after low A. And then as the data was coming out, you could see his exit velocities were very, very low. And a lot of it was, you know, he's taking his walks and he's not chasing. And so it's just a passive guy who's actually overmatched, but it's hidden by the fact that, you know, he's got good WRC plus. But I think the pendulum has swung too far. The guy is only 17. He was the youngest in the league. Going to be 18 this year, probably high A. He didn't look that overmatched in the field. He was okay too. So I just feel that, you know, don't write him off yet. Maybe he's not the guy who he looked like in the first 3 weeks of the season. You know, kind of good bloodlines, etc. So I said Andrew Salas. So I think I'm keeping my eye on him for the next couple of years. Just to see if he does pan out with the guy that I think RoboScout thinks he could be.
Yeah, I like that one. I think that's a good pick. And I think there's definitely maybe even some like upside there if the power comes. One of these solaces has to eventually hit. Like one of them, you know. They've taken millions of dollars from the industry. We need one of these guys to hit. All right, let's move on to the Nationals now, our final team in the AL East. Excuse me, NL East. Apologies, National League fans. NL East, 2026 contributor. I put down Harry Ford. I kind of felt like there were maybe some other options here. Louis Perales could potentially be an option. Harlan Suzano, who I saved for highest upside, could be an option. You know, I don't know. I mean, Ford's a catcher, so like it's just a matter of him providing like above the average fantasy catcher value. And then it's kind of a valuable player in fantasy, right? If it's just better than that, you know, median threshold, I think he could do that, especially early where he could run a little bit. He's not going to run a ton. He's not going to hit for a ton of power, but he's going to do enough of everything that he could still be valuable. Gets on base. I'm not the biggest Harry Ford fan, frankly. But I can see how it's useful. And I think there is an opportunity for him here to get some playing time and blossom in the big leagues.
Yeah, I like Harry Ford too. He's going, like you said, Cezanne and Perales are kind of going like 50s and like very late their ADP. Harry Ford's taken like 27th round. I think the thing is like Keibert Ruiz is so terrible. I didn't realize how bad he was defensively for a couple years now. He also doesn't walk. It's just like Harry Ford may be the guy by the end of the season. So I think he's a guy that'll have, you know, power, speed, reasonable batting average. Like he may be taken a lot higher than 27th round next year. So I like the Harry Ford one.
Yeah. And I think the pitchers, it's just hard to know. I don't know. Cezanne looks like he could be really exciting and there could be massive upside here and he could be up this year and tremendous and goes full Mizorowski. Like that wouldn't shock me. Or he could get hurt again and miss some time. And Perales, who they acquired from the Red Sox, I just don't know what his innings are going to be like this year. So it could be maybe like a pen guy for a year or so that maybe blossoms into a rotation spot. Eventually, we're seeing more and more of that. And especially with young players with big stuff that maybe have some innings limitations, it makes sense. But I'm not going to throw my neck out there for a 2026 contributor. Highest upside at Brob Susana. I mean, he sits 100 miles an hour. It's like him and Carlos Agranje are the hardest throwers. He's got a great slider as well. He gets a ton of ground balls. Throws more strikes than you think as well. Is in the zone more than you think with Susana. I think like if this all clicks, he could be an ace. I don't know if that necessarily happens, but if you're going to bet on someone becoming an ace, betting on the guy with like the, you know, like the highest octane stuff is probably your best bet.
Yeah. I mean, that was my pick too. If I had an alternate, I think it'd be Travis Sikora, who is also kind of lighting up RoboScout. He's under the knife, going to miss the season. But very young, good fastball, good slider, good splitter. It's those three pitches, and they're basically all plus, I think. So it would have been Sikora. He might have been at the top of this list if he wasn't injured. But I like Cezanne as well.
I like that. I think that's pretty good. All right, let's go to the last one, Dylan, and wrap this podcast up. Underrated player. I'm going to go with Devin Fitzgerald. I don't think this is a shock to anyone who's read me recently. One of my favorite players. We got a glimpse of him last year, came off the complex, got a little bit of time in low A. I think could have exploded had he had a little bit more time healthy. Dealt with a shoulder injury. We'll see how he recovers from that. All signs seem to be positive at this point. But a great blend of bat to ball ability, approach, power, good angles. Kind of does everything really well at the plate that I'm really betting on the bat here. A lot of the guys that kind of check all these boxes this early don't necessarily come along. And there's enough runway with the contact that I don't think like that's going to bottom out. And usually power and angles sustain. So if he's already kind of doing all these things, I think this guy could potentially really blow up. I've written about him a ton. He's going to be on all my underrated teams, all that sort of thing. I don't know if you had another name here besides Fitz-Gerald. Just for the people out there listening, it's not a regular Fitzgerald. He's a Fitz-Gerald.
I knew you were going to take him, so I didn't even bother to do any research on him. It's a great pick. I have him in a couple dynasties. So, I mean, I went down the list because I knew I had to find an alternate. And it's like, okay, who had good power? And there's like Ethan Petrie, Andrew Pinckney, Yohani Morales. They all had like 90th percentile exit velocities of 106 or higher, which is very good. But then you look at the contact and it's, you know, below 70%. The in zone is below 80%. But if you get to the bottom, Christian Franklin, I think he's like the 26th or 27th on the top 30. His 90th percentile exit velocity was 106.7, and his contact was about average, 75% contact, 84% zone contact. He doesn't really chase. He barrels it up. I mean, he may not be more than a fourth outfielder. I think he liked him for a Rule 5, maybe not this year, but the year before, as someone who'll be taken. He was traded from the Cubs for maybe Soroka. Was it Soroka? I can't remember. So he's on the Nationals now. Super underrated, obviously, because he's probably not taken in any leagues, but you know, he's a guy that's kind of showing under the hood. He's got a, you know, he knows how to handle the bat. So I could see him being like a fourth outfielder type or something. And maybe even this year.
Yeah. The skills have always been there. It just never really clicked the way the underlying numbers said it should. And it's been like that since he was at Arkansas. It's just like kind of always been that way. It's going to click one of these days. And it's going to be like when I'm like, been out, you know what I mean? And it's like on somebody else's team, unfortunately. But yeah, I think that's a really good call out. Well, there you go, Dylan. We've gone through the NL East. We're making our way through two divisions left. We'll be back next week with the NL Central. We'll be plenty to talk about then. Dylan, thanks for joining me. As always, always a pleasure to record with you. This has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. I'm Jeff. He's Dylan.
Travel safely and cheers.